Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Day Out Debate podcast. My name's Tim Hussbury.
And I'm Chris Kerr.
This week, we talk the World Cup. Dramatic pause for effect. Of niche sports. We figured there'll be enough football chat between now and the middle of June, so this time we're going to visit sports that are unique to countries or regions by going through the World Cup groups. Sorry about that, Italy and the Netherlands. Right, here we go. So we'll start off with Group A. Chris did Group A to D, and I did E to... I did E to H. Yeah, good maths, Tim. Unfortunately, I've not been as thorough as Chris. There's going to be a lot of Chris talking, but you know, he's the better one of us two. So Chris, Group A, let's start talking about it.
You do yourself down, Tim.
No, I value myself exactly how I should be.
So to start with Group A, I thought no better place to start than host for this year's Football World Cup, Russia. And according to Yandex, football or soccer, unsurprisingly, is the most popular sport in that country. But that is not why we're here for this podcast. Ice hockey came in second in that poll, which is rather unsurprising again.
Can I guess number three? Sorry.
Yes, you can.
Doping.
No, that just encompasses all of the sports that we're talking about when we talk about Russia.
Carry on.
So ice hockey came in second. Handball came in third, which was interesting. Basketball, boxing, motorsports, volleyball, athletics, tennis, and chess rounded out the top 10. Rather interesting that people see chess as a sport to put in there, but other popular sports obviously included figure skating, again unsurprisingly, weightlifting with some help from your doping already mentioned, gymnastics, wrestling, martial arts, rugby union, which is a growing sport in Russia, skiing, and a thing called bandy, which is what I thought I was going to talk about a little bit more. Which is a team winter sport played on ice, which is similar to ice hockey. Where players try and direct a ball into opposing team's goals. It's considered a different form of hockey and has a common background with association football, ice hockey and field hockey. And like football, the game is normally played in halves of 45 minutes each, so longer than an ice hockey game. And there are 11 players on each team, so again, larger than ice hockey. And the bandy field is about the same size as a football pitch, so it looks and sounds like it's just a much larger version of ice hockey with kind of more football rules. I thought that was quite interesting. And the final sport mentioned on this list is biathlon, which is the Winter Olympic sport involving cross-country skiing and rifle shooting at the range and that. So that encompasses everything with Russia.
Right. This has been a far more thorough search than I was anticipating. Every single sport in the country in order of popularity. I have not done this because I just basically assumed if it's not football, it's rugby. And if it's not rugby, it's cricket. And if it's not that, it's probably handball or something a bit weird and you're in Scandinavia.
Yeah, that's fair. I have handball appears a lot on my list.
Yeah, handball does come up a lot. I found that as well. But that's not niche enough for me, Chris. I've gone pretty niche on the stuff that I've gone into. Saudi Arabia, what about Saudi Arabia?
So Saudi Arabia is fairly boring. Sorry to all the Saudis out there. So again, football or soccer is the most popular sport, as we're going to repeatedly say on this. And you were good with your guesses from that last selection. Cricket is the second most popular sport of Saudi Arabia. And the other major sports there are basketball, with mining and minor growing sports of rugby union, ice hockey and handball. And I can't quite imagine them playing ice hockey, but there you go.
Well, you said mining. I was like, that's pretty geopolitical.
Sorry, I meant minor growing sports.
Yes, yes. Egypt.
Egypt, unsurprisingly, football again is the number one sport in Egypt, and that's even more unsurprising when you consider that more than 1 million Egyptians attempted to elect Mo Salah in the recent election, twice the number of the actual challenging candidate after they ended up crossing him out and putting Mo Salah instead. I thought I could go into extra more detail and give you some of the ancient Egyptian sports, but that's something entirely different, maybe for a historical podcast, so I'm not going to do that. Other sports are basketball, which Egypt hold the record for the best performance at the Basketball World Cup and Olympics by an African nation. And the other sports are squash, handball and tennis. And my final country of Group A is Uruguay, which for a relatively small nation, I think they have just nearly 4 million people in the country. Uruguay has been a big hitter in sports terms historically. Again, football's the most popular sport, having won, and they won the Olympics in 1924, 1928, and actually won the first FIFA World Cup in 1930, also beating Brazil in Rio de Janeiro to win it in 1950. Basketball is the second most popular sport, and to round off my summary of this opening group, rugby union is the third most popular sport in Uruguay. There you go, Timmy.
That's very interesting. A far more thorough job than I've done, Chris. I'm seriously worried about my contribution to this podcast, but we'll carry on regardless. So we'll go straight over to the sunnier climes of Group E, and by that I mean Brazil, where obviously I couldn't go anywhere near Brazil without mentioning capoeira. I don't know if you count this as a sport, but I would. I think it's more of a sporty sport than darts and chess, so it's on my list. And obviously it's sort of a mixture. Well, it's technically a martial art, but a lot of the time it looks like dancey, acrobatic-y type stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty gnarly. The guys who do it are usually pretty like lean, cut blokes, so I think that also adds it sort of to the sporting list for me. Quite interesting. I don't think I could do it. I don't have anywhere near the right kind of call. Move on to Switzerland. This was sort of the country that that I focused on in this group, and we'll start off with snow polo. I mean, it's literally what the name suggests, people on horses in the snow paling.
Snow polo.
Yeah, playing polo. It's pretty mental. I mean, on like sand, that. It's I wouldn't say exciting. It's a pretty lethargic game anyway. I'm just imagining sort of Harry and William, the princes, obviously, just on their horses in the middle of the Arctic playing against other toffs and, you know, having a bit of fun. So that sounds like it could be quite fun.
Surrounded by a couple of RGs and some Swiss.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. And then the main sport I focused on for this group was Hornussen, which is essentially kind of mental golf with defending. I'll explain. So a puck, i.e. the Hornus, is essentially thrown into the air by a person, and then they try and hit that puck as far as they can. And the equipment they use for it is very strange. You're going to have a look at it on Google Images, or we'll put one up on the extra reading. So the idea is they try and hit it as far as they can, and you get some points for going over 100 meters, and then more points for every 10 meters further that you go from that. Then obviously the other team are trying to defend it, and I couldn't quite work out how this was done, but essentially they just try and bat it out the air so it doesn't reach the required distance. So it consists of 18 players, and games are played in four quarters. So, you know, it's quite interesting. I would not want to stand in front of a golf ball being smashed by a driver, but I suppose it's not quite the same thing, and the equipment's not quite as high tech.
No.
But yeah, still interesting. and I'm sorry, Costa Rica and Serbia, I didn't find anything for you. It's basically football and football for them. Right, let's go back to Chris. Portugal,
fair enough.
Group B.
Yeah, so like you said for the last two, Portugal's is fairly boring. I think they're pretty typical for most European countries. Football's the most popular sport, and they have other professional or semi-professional leagues in basketball, swimming, athletics, tennis, gymnastics, futsal, rink or roller hockey, which I thought was interesting, handball, volleyball, surfing, canoeing and rugby union. And moving on to Spain, which unsurprisingly is much the same as Portugal. A lot of these European countries end up having quite similar sporting catalogues, as you'd expect. So the number one again is football, which unsurprisingly, given the clubs that they have there, Real Madrid and Barcelona in particular. The second is basketball. Third is tennis, again unsurprisingly with players such as Rafael Nadal. And the fourth is cycling, and the fifth is Formula One, again with people like Fernando Alonso, hardly surprising. And sixth is golf, which again is unsurprising with people like Sergio Garcia. Slightly more interesting with Spain, I thought, was the regional sports such as Basque and Valencian pelota,
right?
Which you don't find anywhere else. And to give you a little description of what this is, it does, doesn't it? This encompasses a variety of court sports played with a ball using normally a person's hand, a racket, a wooden bat, or even a basket against a wall, or more traditionally with two teams face to face, separated by a line on the ground or a net. And the roots of this class of games can be traced back to ancient Greece, or in some other ancient cultures back in the day.
Interesting.
And I thought the other sport to mention while we're on Spain was bullfighting. As controversial as it is, obviously its best known form is the Spanish style of bullfighting, but it's gone around the world, particularly to Latin American countries, and is found in parts of southern France as well. But it's largely starting to die because of the protests, etc., that are now starting to take place in Spain towards bullfighting.
It's interesting with bullfighting, though, because it's one of the final sports left, which death is a very real option as an outcome. You know, it used to be that was sport, you know, you could watch people go die, but now it's, you know, normally the bull.
It's still got the gladiator element to it.
Occasionally the bloke will die. Yeah. Not sure how I feel about it, but whatever, it's a spectacle. And I'm also quite, you know, every time I see basketball quite so high up the list for the Spaniards, I'm always a bit intrigued, because Spanish and basketball never really, you know, they're not two things I ever associate, but I suppose it's quite a quick sport with a lot of fluidity, so, and that's how they like to play their football. But
I don't know why it is, but for Spain, but I just always think of one person for each sport. So for me in basketball, it's Pau Gasol from the NBA. They've just got one ridiculously tall, very good Spanish basketball player.
Yes, I always think of him too. I watch basketball.
And to finish off my group B, Morocco was very boring. Sorry, Morocco. They had football, cricket, basketball, rugby, hockey, golf and athletics. So that's barely worth a mention. And Iran, as the fourth country, had freestyle wrestling, which has been traditionally regarded as Iran's national sport. However, sadly, shows the world that we're in today, football is now considered the most popular sport.
Yeah,
so that finished off my summary of Group B.
Okay, we'll go straight over to Group F. Who should we start with? Let's start with the Mexicans. I'm afraid I've not got a lot to say there. Football, essentially. So we'll move straight on. We'll go to Sweden, and I'll immediately apologise to all Swedes and just say sorry, but I thought that another Scandinavian sport was better. So essentially, Sweden is Scandinavia, and by Scandinavia I mean Finno-Scandia. Insert nerdy glasses here. So I'm actually talking about Finland, really, but you know, it's kind of popular throughout the region. And it's wife carrying. That's what it is. I know it's misogynist, and I know it's horrible, and as a, you know, as a stout advocate for equality, this is quite funny. So essentially, men carry their wives over an obstacle course, and it's split according to the weight of the wife. Like, so there are different categories of races and stuff according to how heavy the wife is and all that sort of thing. And the fastest couple wins, obviously, throughout the obstacle course and that sort of thing. In Finland, now played in a few countries. I'm just briefly looking through all the news stories about this. There was an incident where a husband in the UK managed to really injure his wife doing it by dropping her on the neck. It's not actually that funny. It's quite funny, but it's not actually funny.
I wasn't expecting this.
And apparently the prize is often beer. This is a definite theme of this group, beer. So while I'm on it, let's move straight to those crazy Germans. The first sport I'm going to talk about is extreme sitting.
Extreme sitting?
Yeah, I'll just let that sink with you for a second. It's actually really called sport hocking, but from as much as I can work out, it's just extreme sitting. So you've probably seen it. It's sort of like, there's sort of very brightly coloured bar stools, which they flip around and kind of do skateboarding tricks with, so they kind of land on them end up sitting on them and or doing rails and that sort of stuff with just a bar stool, essentially. It's quite weird. It's quite German. It's like, yes, let's do some crazy sitting. But sometimes, Chris, when I was going through some of these lists, I was like, is this real? So I'll carry out this whole podcast with the fact that, you know, I've not really done much fact checking. I've just gone, yeah, that'll do. So some of this might be fake news, but stuff it. It's not a university thesis or anything like that. So apologies for the pronunciation of this, but I'm going to go Kastenlauf. So it's essentially carrying beer, Chris. Carrying a crate or a keg of beer over a course of about 10 kilometres. But, right, this is the fun bit, the beer has to be finished by the time the team crosses the line. So the idea is to get drunk as well. Because what do you do, Chris? Do you drink it early? Just so you have less to carry, but you risk being a bit sloshed by the end of the 10K, you know, okay, fine, it might take you an hour to do 10K, so the chances of you getting really mashed over an hour period is quite low. But still, it's an interesting tactics. Or do you...
That is an interesting conundrum.
Do you just blitz at the end and then see it off sort of halfway through, and then you won't really be affected by the alcohol? You might be a bit gassy, but, you know, it's only the important things we talk about, Chris, and I think that's definitely
something. I think that coach definitely needs a sport, because there are definite tactics involved in that.
Exactly. You mean that sport needs a coach? That coach needs a sport.
Sorry, that sport needs a coach.
And then something I literally don't understand, and saw some YouTube videos of it and still don't understand, it's just a lot of people running around with some big sticks. It's South Korea, Chajon Nori. So that's what I'm going with. It's sort of jousting, where there are two men on top of a couple of like large triangular sort of looking frames, carried by their teammates, and they pretty much ram into each other, from what I can work out. And the goal is to force the other team's triangle man thing to the ground.
Nice.
From the video that I saw on YouTube, it's just like a load of people running around, and then some men with brightly coloured clothes on telling everyone what to do. But it's chaos, it's fun, it looks quite interesting, it looks like you get some injuries, so I'm all for it. Right, Group C.
So, starting Group C, France is fairly boring. It's probably the most similar, probably, to the UK out of any of the sports that we've done. So, football's first. Tennis is second. Rugby union and rugby league, followed by basketball, handball, motorsport, cycling, skiing, and the final one to throw in there's pétanque, which we all love a game of bowls. But the French particularly like it when they're playing pétanque. So moving swiftly on to our second one, I thought Australia would be quite a interesting one. It is. We've actually come across our first country where the number one sport is not football/soccer.
Rugby?
Number one ranked... So it depends how you rank it. I did it two different ways with Australia. So I ranked it first by spectator attendance,
right,
which gave us Aussie rules as the number one sport. They had an average attendance of 33,198 people at their games. Cricket came second because of the Big Bash League. They had 30,114 people as an average attendance. Rugby Union came third with Super Rugby in their international games. They had an average attendance of 19,348. Rugby League was fourth. They had 16,057 people as an average attendance. And finally, we come to soccer fifth. They had, in their A League, they had an average attendance of 12,650. And basketball was sixth. They had 5,132 people as the average attendance. But as I say, that is not the only way you can rank those sports. So I also looked at participation, and it's fairly muddy waters, because being Australian, they've included things like bike riding, skateboarding, rollerblading, riding a scooter, and they come at topping the list of activities, which of course they would do. I mean, if they were real sports, then they'd top the list anywhere.
Yeah.
So 66% of all boys ride a bike, according to this survey. But I thought, more interestingly, for boys, the most popular sport for participation outside of those silly ones was soccer, with a rate of 19.9%.
Boring.
But higher up the list than would be in most places, swimming had a participation rate of 17.2%, I guess because they had so many lovely outdoor pools and they need to cool off out there. And Aussie rules came in with 16%, even though it is the highest spectator sport. So that was the interesting side of Australia.
Just before we move on, I might have been doing research while we're going as well, very, very surreptitiously undercover, you know. I'm going to take us back to Morocco, Chris, because I was looking up African sports because I was struggling for something for Senegal. And something called the Gunpowder Games in Morocco. So Tibourida, we'll go with that. Traditional Moroccan sport that combines horse racing with shooting, and it usually occurs at cultural celebrations. So the aim of the game is to, for sort of 15 to 20 people, to charge their horses down to a finish line and then all shoot their guns at the same time, So it sounds like you can only hear one shot. I totally don't get the point.
Oh, nice.
But it's interesting. It's niche. Yeah. So yeah, sorry, that's Morocco. I know we're going back to Group B. Peru.
No, I like that.
Thank you.
Peru, sadly, we're back to football / soccer being the most popular sport in Peru. I know, so boring. But I thought more interestingly, and I really wasn't expecting this from Peru, but Taekwondo was high up on the list for Peru, okay, which is apparently, it's been very popular over the years. So Taekwondo was introduced in Peru by a man called, I'm going to butcher this name, Hakim Anders Polar, who's instructor master at the Art of Taekwondo in Bolivia. And he introduced martial arts to them in the 1970s, and it's just grown and grown since then. Today, Taekwondo isn't as big as it used to be in the 80s and 90s in Peru. It lost a lot of its prestige in the mid-1990s, but it still remains one of the largest sports in Peru. And they even had someone at the 2008 Summer Olympics finish fourth in Taekwondo.
That's pretty impressive.
For a small country, it's pretty impressive. Good. And then the other sports are slightly less interesting than Taekwondo. They had basketball, rugby union and league. I didn't think they'd play both versions of rugby, but they do. Volleyball, surfing, sailing, and again, they like shooting like the Moroccans. Maybe slightly differently to how the Moroccans like their shooting. But the final country of Group C is Denmark. And they had, of course, being the Danes, they had a very helpful list from a census back in 2013, so I could see exactly what the biggest sports were in Denmark. So members of sports clubs in Denmark by sport as of 2013, top was football. They had 329,000 people playing football.
Chris,
in clubs.
This was not meant to be about football. It's all about football.
Aquatics was second on the list, so they like their swimming as well. 170,000 people. Gymnastics was third, 166,000. Golf, 155,000. And then we get to the sports that I traditionally think of Denmark. Handball, 109,000. Badminton, 89,000. Equestrian sports, 69,000. Tennis, 59,000. Shooting, 54,000. And sailing, 52,000. There you go, Tim. That is Group C finished.
Oh, okay. Brilliant. So I'm going to go to Group H because stuff it. Screw chronological order. That's just how I roll. Right, so I'm not even going to go in the order because Poland, I didn't really look at a lot. It was football and I couldn't find much else. Right, so like I said, I was talking about Morocco and on the same page. Wrestling is extremely popular in Senegal. Looking at some of these photos, are literally thousands of people watching lots of men wrestle. It seems like it's sort of very much one-on-one fighting rather than, you know, crazy free-for-all sort of royale battles. But, you know, these guys are huge, like proper mountain men, and they take it very seriously, proper training, all that sort of stuff. Nice. So part of the culture, I think, is the guys working out pre-wrestling. So like doing crazy pull-ups and all that sort of stuff. So that's quite interesting. Let's go to Colombia. So there's a game called Tejo, right?
Yeah, good name.
Sport. This is on the limits of. apparently, it's the national sport of Colombia, as designated by Congress in 2000. It could well be. This could be fake news. I don't know. So the game isn't unlike horseshoes, apparently. So throwing a metal object at a target, but the target has these things called mejas. I'm going to go with mejas. So what do you think mejas are, Chris? Just have a guess. You're throwing it at a target. What do you think they are? What do they look like?
They're a big roundel type thing.
No. So they're folded triangles and they have gunpowder in them. So when it lands on it, there's a big bang. How crazy is that? And apparently that makes everybody cheer. So that's...
It'd make me cheer.
It'd probably make me poo myself. In the middle of Colombia, hearing some big bangs go off and then cheering. But they also have charza, which is sort of like volleyball, tennis kind of thing with they essentially use their hands, and the picture that I've got in front of me is a lot of people on a load of concrete diving around, so that looks incredibly painful. So you have to take it in turns to sort of hit the ball, and it's kind of like a game of wall ball that you play at school, where you just take it in turns to smack a ball off the wall, and then if you miss, you're out, I guess. But
those are the best balls.
Yeah, exactly. So that looks quite interesting. So that's Senegal and Colombia, and then we're gonna go to Japan. Big shout out to my main man Judo. That was a big. I was going to say waste of my time. I did it for several years. But the one I'm going to talk about is Bo Taoshi. Right, I'm guessing quite a few people have seen this. I definitely have seen this before. But essentially, it's a game where two teams of 150 people vie to lower opposition's pole to the ground by climbing it. So it's kind of like capture the flag, but it's more lower the pole. And there are attackers and defenders, and the attackers are trying to get up the pole of the other team to bring it down, and the defenders are trying to stop the attackers going up. So it's quite physical, and, you know, very...
That sounds intense with 150 people.
Yeah, it's carnage. It's carnage. So it's 75 attackers and 75 defenders, and I can't for the life of me work out what's going on. But I think those are the rules. I went through a few sites trying to work this out, but that's as condensed as I can get it. And it looks mental. It looks absolutely mental, and I like
sports where you can't normally work out the rules straight away.
So that's that. I mean, it's not unlike Chajon Nori, there you go. It's not unlike that South Korean one. It looked quite similar. Instead of one man, you know, everyone trying to climb it. But so obviously culturally they have a similar background, I'm guessing, as in their origins. But yes, interesting. So that's Group H. Sorry, Poland.
So moving on to my final group, Group D. Nigeria will get out the way early because they were really boring. Apologies to Nigeria, but they had football, athletics, basketball and handball, and that's not what we're looking for, Nigeria. So
disappointing.
Fleeting mention for you. Yeah, I know. Moving on to Argentina, they had quite a big variety of different sports, probably due to the population's diverse European origins. Obviously, they've come from quite a few different places. So they had athletics, motor racing, basketball, boxing, cycling, hockey. Hockey was a big one. Golf, handball, a thing called paddle tennis, which I couldn't really work out what the hell that was. But I'll give it a go. So paddle is a racket sport, and in the US and Canada is known as just paddle. It is not to be confused with platform tennis, which I also have no idea what platform tennis is. It's a winter and summer sport, typically played on courts heated from below to eliminate snow and water. And the court rules and styles of play are very different depending on where you're playing it around the world. Paddle rules state that the playing field should be a rectangle 10 metres wide and 20 metres long, enclosed by walls. Singles use 6 by 20 metres instead of 10 by 20 metres, and it looks like you're playing a version of tennis but with a very different racket to normal. So it's solid but with no strings. And there are walls involved, so it's a bit of squash with a solid bat.
Okay.
Yeah. So that sounded fun.
Interesting.
And then the other big ones in Argentina, unsurprisingly, rugby union, as everyone will know, and as previously mentioned in your snow polo, polo is big in Argentina. We see a lot of Argentinian people over in the UK coming over to play with Prince Harry and William as well in those games. So that's Argentina. Iceland, I was not disappointed by Iceland. Iceland do have the niche sports that I thought they would do.
I was backing them too. Thank you, Iceland.
Yeah, I thought they would do as well. So handball is often described as the national sport.
I'm not sure that's
of
the case
Iceland.
Anymore, to be honest, Chris, with how hyped they are for the World Cup.
After football. Maybe. That might have changed. Well, I hope it does, because as we were saying, this is not a football podcast.
Yes.
Horseback riding on Icelandic horses is big. So they like setting up races out in the wild in Iceland. Archery, and they've got some of the world's leading ocean rowers A guy called Fian Poole became the fastest guy and a record breaker in various different things. He claimed the overall speed Guinness World Record for the fastest rowing of all four oceans, Atlantic, Indian, Pacific and Arctic, in a man-powered rowboat, as well as the Guinness World Record title for the first rower to ever hold all four ocean records simultaneously. Mm-hmm. He has 18 Guinness World Records in total.
That's too many.
As of 2017.
Too many.
That is quite a lot. So yeah, I thought Iceland was pretty interesting. And the final one of my countries was Croatia. And outside of the usual sports that we've talked about, football, handball, basketball, etc., water polo, which we haven't mentioned so much of so far, that's very big in Croatia. And a game called Pitgin, thought I would describe for you. It's not so much of a professional sport, it's more of an amateur. If you went to Split in Croatia, you'd see guys playing it on the beach. It's played in the shallows on a beach, where players try and keep a small ball from touching the water. And it involves several players in a circle batting around the small ball with their hands, basically keep you up ease. Mm-hmm. But instead of catching the ball, they just bounce it off the palm of their hand. The game resembles a little bit of volleyball kind of thing, but without the net. And it sounded quite fun. I thought I might try and give it a go if I could get my hands on a Pitgin ball next time I went down to the beach.
Or Croatia. Yes. Interesting. Right, we'll move on to my final group, and that was Group G. Sorry, Panama and Tunisia, I can't really find much for you. Again, it's a case of football and that sort of thing. I will just caveat all this with lots of sports that aren't being mentioned because they're not sort of on the list of countries that attend the World Cup. Awkward. I'll go through some at the end because there are some pretty funny ones. Even a couple that you missed from some countries that you did, Chris. Right, so we'll go to Belgium. Okay, so Belgium, they love a bit of football, as we all know, and they love cycling. That is a big old sport over there. They love their cycling. Everyone cycles. Belgium and the Netherlands, quite similar countries. And sorry, Netherlands, you're not in the World Cup. And sorry for just calling Belgium and Netherlands similar. They're not that similar, but they are similar in the sense of sport and what they like. And korfball, which is technically a Dutch sport, I'm going to give the Belgians in this case because they love their korfball as well. So essentially, it's a mixed game played by both men and women in a style that sits somewhere halfway between basketball and netball. One of my good friends from uni, he plays a lot of korfball. He's very good. He plays internationally. And it's a very fast-paced game. I mean, netball and basketball are very different games, but this is a really nice amalgamation of the two, where there's, from what I've watched, there tends not to be a lot of sort of sitting around. It's just very end-to-end kind of stuff. The reason why I mentioned Belgium is because they are the serial losers in the world stage to the Netherlands. So Netherlands have beaten Belgium in every single world final, that's world championship or world games, of which there have been 19, except for two. In one of the occasions, Belgium did manage to defeat the Netherlands, and the other one, it was Netherlands defeating Chinese Taipei or something like that, which I found quite interesting. But yes, so korfball, great sport. It's worth a try. I know there's lots of different clubs around the country that offer it, and there's quite a good league system over here. And I suppose it's only fitting that we finish with England. And there's only a tiny bit of bias with this, but I'm going to go dodgeball. Why not? So dodgeball, great sport, 10 out of 10, everyone play it. But it's changed in the last few years. It used to be 3 balls and 6 players. Now it's 5 balls and 6 players on each team. And it's gone from sort of quite slow, maybe not slow and calculated, but frenetic and calculated, if you can call it that, to just insane and a bit calculated with the extra couple of balls. England managed to win, England's men even managed to win the inaugural World Cup back in 2016 with Australia's women taking the title in the same year. But most recently in the Northern European Championships, England clean sweep of all the gold medals, the mixed team, the women and the men. And I think they're amongst the favourites to win it in 2018. Where do you think the World Cup in 2018 is going to be held, Chris? For dodgeball
in the UK?
It's not in the UK. It's in America. It's in Madison Square. It's Madison Square Gardens. They're having the World Cup for dodgeball.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Mental, isn't it? I don't know how or why or what, but you know, it's a great sport. I loved it when I played it. I played for a good couple of years. I became fine, not great, but you know, fine. So yeah. That's it. That's England. I've given dodgeball to England. Definitely have a look at some YouTube clips of what goes on, especially in like the I'll call it the ratified game, the World Dodgeball Federation version, because you can.
It's more than the film, isn't it?
It is a lot more.
People need to see the real sport.
It's a lot more than the film. If you do happen to be in New York, I think the tickets are ridiculously cheap, obviously, because they want to get people in, and why not watch it in Madison Square? It was previously in Manchester. That was where the first one was held, and the men's final was England versus Malaysia. So it truly is a continental game.
Oh, interesting.
The slight issue is that there are obviously loads of dodgeball teams in America, but they essentially play a completely different game, quite like the dodgeball that you watch, but everyone else plays the game that we play, essentially. So there was an American team, but it wasn't the strongest one there. But when a British team was sent to an American sort of trampoline dodgeball championships which had a 50 grand prize. I know, spoilers, it's very much like the film. The British team did really well and were sort of cast as the underdogs. It was classic, actually, because they were talking about how no one knew anything about this British team and they got really far. The Americans...
They were average shows.
Exactly, average Johns, I'm guessing. So the Americans are clearly quite good at it, but whether the guys who are really good at that version of the game or that just standard on the normal floor sort of game migrate over to the standard inverted commas rules will have to be seen. But you know, it's a growing sport.
Yeah.
They want to be in the Olympics, just like everything. I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon, but you never know. Right, so that's that. We'll go to another little list of interesting sports. Fireball soccer. That's in Indonesia. So literally, it's a bit of coconut or a ball made of coconut fiber, and it's just chuck a bit of fuel on, send it on fire, play a bit of football. It's often played.
To be fair, football's not interesting enough on its own.
No,
so
exactly.
I can see why
you need to liven up a 4-4-2 with a bit of fire.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. So the crowd is right next to the pitch, and the goalies play without gloves but still catch it. So yeah, that's interesting. One that I think you failed to mention for those cheeky little Australians, the beer can regatta. I mean, this is quite niche. I'm not going to lie. I'm not surprised you didn't find it. But it apparently has been a tradition in Darwin, Australia since 1974. And I'm looking at a lot of Australians sat in a load of beer cans. It's pretty much exactly what you imagine. Sails everywhere.
Nice.
Dreadlocks, Fosters, the lot. I know Foster's isn't popular in Australia because it's not popular anyway because it's horrible. Sorry if they were going to sponsor us, but that's that. And I'm sorry about butchering this one, but I've seen a lot of this on a lot of these lists. I think it's very popular in Southeast Asia. Sepak Takraw, which is basically the form of volleyball where you kick it. And these guys are mental how high they can jump. You know, Ronaldo's bicycle kick that he scored against the UK, nothing on these guys. They are constantly making those kind of leaps. It's amazing. So that's pretty good. Obviously, the Brits have got a lot of very unusual sports. Cheese rolling, we all know about, just chucking yourself down a hill. I know a couple of people have done that and kept all their limbs. Quidditch, that is really nerdy. That is, you know, that's
it's worth a shout though. Yeah, I remember that at Loughborough they were playing.
That's full on weird. Apparently beard and mustache championships ends up on this list of sports. I think they were scraping the barrel for a few of these. Drone racing.
Well, you can definitely compete in beard, Tim.
I really don't think so. My beard is not as spectacular as these gents. That this is marvellous. That is a lot of glue that they've got in their beards, because there's no way it's anything other than that. Shin kicking.
Yeah.
Just smacking a guy in the leg as hard as you can until
ouch,
you kind of stop. I can't believe that's a real thing. Obviously, the Scotland Highland Games and the caber toss, that's pretty interesting, but that's not that niche.
Yeah.
Gurning championships, just very ugly men pulling faces. So that's just a little list of stuff that we didn't really cover. But I like sport. I like things that are mental and made up. And I think that some of the best fun you can have is just making up a game, playing it, and those things really get very competitive. I mean, at school, what were we playing? Deef, I think.
We played Deef for hours.
Cricket,
didn't we?
So it's a cricket where you weren't allowed to aggressively swing at the ball, and it literally be 40 people in a sort of 10 meter space trying to catch the ball. So obviously, you'd never get any runs, and it's all sort of an underarm game. But you know, that's really fun. Just keep you up, these football, tennis type stuff. You know. sport's one of those things that isn't refined by, you know, the big ones. You can make up any sport in your head, and as long as it's physical, gets you active, I'm happy to count it. So I don't count darts or chess as sports, but that's a debate for another day. But yeah, I think we've done a nice meander through the world of the World Cup of sports by not talking about football at all. That really failed, didn't it? Anyway, so if you have any other interesting sports you'd like to add to our list, or maybe get in touch, tell us why we were wrong. We should have had way more for Senegal than Tunisia. Please get in touch at dugout_debate on Twitter, Facebooky type stuff, or email us at the Dugout Debate Podcast, or find us online at the same address. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much, Tim, and thanks for listening, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.